Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. God bless you once again, radio listeners. This is Pastora Starlet with the Anointed Word Ministries. I am so glad to be here today to share with you the Word of God and to know, praise God, that God is still saving, still blessing. He's still doing everything that He say He would do. And that is just a blessing, praise the Lord, to know that this is what He does, exactly what He said He's going to do. He's not a lying God. He's a God, praise God. If He said it, He would do it. And if He can't do it, He would not say it. And I thank God, praise God, for Him. I thank God for what He said He'd do. And I thank God, praise God, for all that He would do. This is what He just who He say He is, praise the Lord. And I'm just so grateful and such so blessed, praise God, to be here with Him, praise God, tonight, and with you to share, praise God, the Word of God, praise the Lord. And just know, praise God, that God is what He say. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it, praise God, just to show, praise God, as He say He will. And He's not a lying God. But know one thing, praise the Lord, that He never, never lie about, praise God, what He would do. He never lies about how He would do. And one thing about it, I just pray that you and your family has been blessed. And you and your family, praise God, is still, praise God, hanging in there and believing God for what He say He would do. Just not give up. It seems sometimes it's very hard, praise God, to do what you say you're going to do. And doing it, praise God, and not knowing, praise God, because it doesn't look like. It just don't look like everything is coming together. But it's coming together. Is coming together. Praise the Lord. And I just want to let you know, praise God, be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged, because the Lord is working it out just for you. And praise God, as we stand here today and we see what goes on in the world today, people of God, on the first side of my voice, we need the Lord today more than ever before. It is so much happening in the world today that we have to realize that we can do nothing without Him. And my prayer, my plea today to you is, if you do not know Him, get to know Him and put Him in your life. You will be glad that you did. Praise the Lord. I tell you, praise God, it's just that the Bible is fulfilling. Many people say the Word is not real, but the Word of God is being fulfilled before our eyes. Amen. But tonight we're going to go into the Word, praise God, and just I want to share with you just a brief message, praise God. But at this time we're going to pray. And Father, as I come to you now, I come in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Father God, that you, praise God, will keep us in one peace, one mind. And most of all, praise God, saved to the utmost. Saved to the utmost, O God. And Father God, we ask that you forgive for iniquities, sins, and the shortcomings. Praise God, to let them know, praise God, that they need to be connected to the source. And that source is Jesus Himself. Amen. Amen. We must know, praise God, that we need you, praise God. And you are still standing with outstretched arms, saying, come as you are, but you will in no wise cast us out. You won't throw us out, you won't kick us out, but you're saying, come, let us reason together. And Father God, I pray tonight, God, that the Word come forth, that they would understand the Word. It will come forth with clarity and understanding. And God, I do give you praise for that today. And I do, praise God, love you, praise God. I can do nothing without you. And Father God, I'm asking all that is in Jesus' name, that you will give understanding, praise God, in the Word tonight, that the Word would touch some soul, open some heart, hardened heart, to let them know that you are the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, and you do not change. And Father, I ask this in all the blessings I do ask and believe that you're able to, praise God, to fulfill. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And tonight, praise God, I want to talk to you, praise God, about, praise God, the Word coming from Isaiah 64 and 8. But tonight I want to talk to you about the clay in the potter's hand. Clay in the potter's hand. When I hear the word clay, it reminds me, praise God, something that you can pull, you can fashion, You can mold it. You can make it what you want it to be. And tonight, praise God, we're going to talk about clay in the potter's hands. And we're going to start, praise God, in Isaiah. In Isaiah 64 and 8, Isaiah present God as the potter who naturally cares about that which he has created. If you are a child of God, God has created you. He cares about every soul that he has created. He does not want to discard any of his creation. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. That gives him the power because he's the potter. He can create. He can fashion. And all we are, all that we are, praise the Lord, we are the work of your hand. God is the Father of our, listen to me carefully, and what many have to understand today, if we can get this fact, God can deal with us, he can touch us, he can deal with us, he become a part of us. We are the Spirit. We're the Father of our spirits. We're spirit people. The flesh only covers our spirit man because he lives in a house, in a body. And this flesh, this is why the Lord speaks and says, I cannot look upon flesh because flesh is an enemy to me. In Hebrews 12:9, and he has created us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Listen to me. When we read Romans 8:29, Paul prayed that God would complete the work he has begun in us. In Philippians 1:6. And God is definitely working to make us what he desires for us to be. For us to be. We can't do anything without God. We can't do anything without him. We can't even breathe without him. We can't resist God's work. Those who resist God's work in their lives never become what they designed to be for him. We are incapable people of producing our own happiness or even fulfilling it. Solomon had all the human, praise God, all the human resources one could rather even ask for. One could gather at his disposal. Yet he found a void. Yea, God, he found a void he could not fill. Now, isn't that something? You got people with all this money, and yet they are miserable. They are still lacking something. They are toiling for the wind. In Ecclesiastes 5:16, there is a real sense in which God limited his own power to accomplish his purpose for us by giving us free will. See, the psalmist said this of Israel, how often they provoked him in the wilderness. See, they did. You know about the story. And grieved him in the desert. Yet again and again, they tempted God. They tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm 78 and 40 through 41, God could not mold and shape them as he desired because of their rebellion. Rebellion. You know, you have some of them, some one of your kids, or maybe some of the kids, or however, they're so rebellious, you can't do anything with them. You just let them just run their course. Rebellious will stop the growth of God. Because we're saying that we are the potter, we are the clay in the potter's hands. And in Isaiah 29:16, God rebuked Israel. Why did he rebuke Israel? Because they ignorantly defiled him and act as though he had not created them. Sound like some of us today. We act as God has never did nothing for us. We treat him with no kind of respect. We're disrespectful to him and the things of God. My Jesus. They acted as though they were not, they was in control of their own lives. That people said, this is my life. Let me help you out. No, it's not. Your life don't belong to you. This life belongs to God. Now, you can do what you want to do with it, but in the end, he has the last say-so of the matter. Jesus. Yeah. And they say they acted as if they was there. It was their life. They were in control of their destiny. Isaiah told them, surely you have things turned around, he said. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the things made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the things formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding of me? It is unthinkable that the clay should have such an attitude toward the potter. You better hear that again. The attitude we have towards God is unthinkable. You didn't design you. You did not breathe the life into you. You didn't get yourself up and made your limbs and your use of your activities be that you can move your arms and turn your head and move your feet and think the way you think because of you. It is God's doing, my friend. Hey, Jesus. But the attitude we take towards him, well, we do exactly that. We ignore him. We disrespect him. We don't want no parts of him. We're talking about the one that made you. We're talking about the one that gives you the ability to be able to move to and fro, to talk, to think, to move. Hey, God. Yeah. And this is what we do to the one that made us, the potter. We're the clay and he's the potter. But we do exactly that. We do exactly that. What does it tell us about a person who sees so many different religions and denominations? Are they open-minded, or tolerable, or does it point to the human inability, okay, to satisfy their own longing? You have all that you have, but yet you still have a hole, a void in you. Why can't you feel it? You figure you're your own person. You can do what you want to do. Why can't you feel that void? Hallelujah. We should see it as a bunch of happiness. You know, people fulfill and people in such a freedom, tolerant society, but it is not a lack of freedom that keep us from being happy. Yeah, God, it is a lack of trusting the Almighty God. Too many gods. Is the clay, and are we the potters? We desire to mold God into whatever shape. That's what we decide, you know, because we think that we did him a favor. We desire. We seek an imaginary God who will tolerate our inadequacies, you understand, without requiring change. Let's just say, for instance, with the homosexuality, the adultery, the greed. But it is sin, and sin brings what death and unhappiness. Romans 6:21-23. The Bible stated the wages of sin is. See, the wages of sin is nothing but death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The true potter knows that it is the clay. You're a potter. You got to understand. The potter knows, but you are the clay that must be changed and change your shape, your life, your style, your living. You got to be changed. You must change. We can't acknowledge that God works in us. Paul declared that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. In Ephesians 3:20, God has a great advantage over man in the work of molding his lives to the better. God knows what is best for us because he truly knows of every need. He said it in Philippians 4:19. I will do. He said it because he knows what we need and what we do not need. Sometimes we need just the opposite of what we seek and think that we need. We thank God for unanswered prayers. God can remake us all over again. You don't have to be the same. When I was a sinner and I didn't sin, I thought it was the best thing before sliced bread because I was ignorant to the truth. And once I became acknowledging the truth, I realized this is the best thing could have ever happened to me, for me to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That he not only changed my life, but he changed my direction in life. He changed it. He molded. He broke the old vessel and remolded it into a new one. What happens when we choose to resist God and we are not what God wants us to be? Is there hope for us beyond sin? The prophet Jeremiah says, though we were, when he said, though we were and are and was, when he said, then I went down to the potter's house. You see, sometimes you got to realize, baby, when you don't went to the last mile of the way, you got to give it over to Jesus. Go to him. Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. See, when he's at the wheel, that means the potter is at work. He's creating something different. He's creating something beautiful. He's creating something, praise God, that he can admire. And the vessel that he made of the clay was marred, yeah, God, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, this is what Jeremiah said, can I do with you as a potter, says the Lord. Look at the clay. It is in the potter's hand. So are you and me in the potter's hand. My hand, O house of Israel. Jeremiah 8:3-6 says, Israel has continuously resisted America, people in America, over the world, God's work in them. But he was not willing to throw them away. You see what he's saying, praise God. God love you, but he hates the sin that you do. This is why he has not put you, this is why he has not pulled the breath from your body. He's giving you chance after chance to say, God, here am I. Mold me and make me all over again. Hey, God. He said it. He said, praise God, you continue to keep resisting me. But God's work is in them. But he was not willing to throw you away. He's not willing to pull you out of this world, praise God, without you knowing who Jesus is. Though they were marred and could not be what they wanted or could have been, you may not be what you want to be, and you're not what you could have been. But God could remake the vessel into another vessel that would glorify him. See, God don't make no junk. He don't make no junk. God resisted the power of the apostolic preaching and the kicking against the prick in Acts 9:5. But when he fell before Jesus and asked, you see, the apostolic preaching, when he fell before God, yes, he had to realize there's nothing I can do with me. God can do all everything with me. But when he fell before God, Jesus, and he asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? In Acts 9:6, and God remade him into a vessel of honor, useful to the master. 2 Timothy 2:21. We are all marred vessels, people. We are all, something is wrong with all of us, but God is willing to take us and remake us and mold us and shape us. Praise God that we come out being a vessel of honor. Yeah, God, it's better to be a good vessel of honor than a vessel of dishonor. But it matters not how we mar our lives or how long it has been, you know, malformed. Something is wrong with us. We are not in God. We don't know God. That's not it. But the great potter can remold us if if the conjunction, we are willing to trust and obey God. Romans 9:18-33. God sees the finished product. We are hindered by our inability to see the end of the process. God has the power to truly change lives through the power of the gospel in Romans 1:16. Paul wanted the Philippians to know that God was continuously in process of shaping and molding his life when he said, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which appear to, that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace and the guards and to all of the rest that my changes are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident of my changes, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." The Philippians were letting him know the change has come in my life, and I am not going to shun it. I'm going to let people know that it's God that molded me. It was God that changed me. It was God that cleaned me up and gave me a brand new start. It was God that reached down in the muck and the mire clay and lifted me up. It's the word of the song can say, he will reach way down and pick me up. Yes, Paul continued, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through the prayers and the supplication of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to the earnest expectation and the hope that is nothing. I shall not be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now and also in Christ, will be magnified in my body when I speak, when people see the Christ in me." This is what he's saying. This thing wasn't done in no corner. He didn't do it to be shameful about it. He said, rather, by life or death. In Philippians 1:19-20, whatsoever happened to me, Paul knew God could make it work for the spiritual good. He later encouraged them to acquire this mindset. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. That's what he said. Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, who began in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal. He didn't think about what he did when he did. He did it for the love. For robbery equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. God didn't think about it. I don't know if I want to do this or not. But he said, because you are in my image, because I see that you need a Savior in your life, I am willing to shed the blood of my life and give my life that you may have life eternally. What other person have you ever known that have given their life for you? Oh, Jesus. No, anything that's happened to somebody, to my giving their life, they run. They're not going to die for you. But he did it. He became a bondservant and covered into the likeness of men and being formed in appearance as a man. He became as man as he came in. He came to us in the likeness of sinful flesh. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Hey, Jesus, Philippians 2:5-8. Jesus humbly trusted the Father and was obedient to his will. Hebrews 5:8, Philippians 2:8. But the conclusion of this matter, there is another aspect to the clay and the potter, the wheel that he needed to think about. Every revolution of the potter's wheel brings the clay closer to what is the end and what it will look like. This is what they do. It is that way with our lives. We need to allow God to kick us and put us in his hand, remold us and make us, and put us on the wheel that we may become closer to him. Hey, Jesus. Every revolution of the potter's wheel brings us closer to what? To what is the end and what we will look like. It is that way with our lives. As we are being turned on the potter's wheel, we are being molded and shaped regardless of how long we've been turning. Hey, there is a sacred, 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 sacred hymn that we sing from time to time. Yes, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Yes, which beautifully tells us, praise God, that how the clay should be, you know, molded. Should be molded in the hands of the potter. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will while I'm waiting, yielding and still. Holder of my being, absolutely sway. Fill me with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Living in me. We need to be reshaped, reformed, and refashioned. That we may know, praise God, that we are in the hands of the potter. We are in the hands of the potter. Isaiah pleaded with the people of this day. In Isaiah 64 and 8, we are pleading with you right now, to allow God to be the potter of your life. Of your life. It's not your life, people. Don't let the devil fool you. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. You didn't give you the ability to be able to move about with activity and use of your limbs, thinking and closed in your right mind. It was Jesus, and it is Jesus. But we are pleading with you right now to allow God to be the potter of your life, continuously shaping and molding you as you willingly render to his will. In Acts 10:17, we saw Romans 10:17, and Acts 17:30. Romans 10:9-10. Allow the potter to put you on the wheel to mold and remake you as he will. Jesus is standing with outstretched arms saying, I want to make you over. Make me over all over again. And I'm able, praise God, to stand before you, to stand before you as a vessel of honor and not dishonor. Today, people, realize it's not you that you do what you do. It is by the grace of God that he's allowed you to be able to have use and activities of your limbs. Take it not for granted. He's still standing, waiting to take the clay and remold and make the vessel all over again. Come to Jesus while you have the chance. Come to Jesus while you can. He will not cast you out. He will not. He welcomes you to come and allow him to put you on the potter's wheel, make you as he will, all over again. I pray, praise God, that you would consider letting God be your God and your Lord, because he loved you so much that he would constantly plead with you, come to me, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, because he is the potter and you are the clay. Allow him to mold you and make you after his will while he is waiting, yield and steal. Yes, he's saying, come to me. Isaiah pleaded it to the people, and I'm pleading it to you today. Come now. Now is the acceptable time that you may know that Jesus is still around. I pray, praise God, you've been blessed with this word tonight. And I pray, praise God, that it was something was said that would give you a click in your spirit. It's time for me to make that change. Change today, people. And God will love you because he will mold you and make you, because you are in the hand of the potter, because you are the clay. You be blessed. Be blessed. And know this. Jesus loves you. But he do not love the sins that you commit. Sin separates you from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift that he's offering you, let me make and mold you all over again, is the gift of the Holy Ghost. You be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.